Hello.
It's episode 20.
20.
It's episode 20. Confirmed. Ashton's back.
19 was actually correct.
We have done more of these than we thought.
Yeah.
And you have listened to them because you've supported us at this tier. And we would like to thank you for that. We've got a big old hat full of questions here.
You know how it works.
You've submitted them.
We're
going to answer them. Ashton's going to ask a question.
Should I tell my story before we kick off?
Ashton needs to talk about her bed ghost. If you are listening to this after listening to the main podcast, this will make a bit more sense. But you went to Rome recently and saw ghosts.
I saw ghosts. So whenever I go on holiday, / I'm not in my bed, and sometimes when I am in my bed, I wake up in the middle of the night and I see people at the end of my bed.
Every time?
No. Every time I go on holiday.
Every time you go on holiday.
Yeah.
Wow.
What constitutes a holiday? If you're in the UK and visiting someone else, is that a holiday?
If I'm not in my house, I see ghosts.
So the first time you moved up to Newcastle, did you see ghosts?
Yeah, I still see ghosts in my Newcastle bed.
You still do.
So it's not about holidays at all, is it? What are you talking about?
I think it's just if I'm not in my bed in Leicester, I see ghosts.
Do you have like ancestral soil under your bed? Like a vampire?
I don't think they're real ghosts, but they are like ghostly figures. Like when I was in Rome, I woke up in the middle of the night. And I looked at the end of the bed and there was a really tall man. The ceilings in Rome were really tall.
Romans were famously very tall.
A man that I'd say was about 7 foot tall, and he was stood and he had really long arms. So it's not a real person. And his head, like, he was made of like clay.
Oh, this is so weird. This is like very close to what I've seen.
And then I thought, I'm not going to address it because if I look at it for too long, it will do something. So then I just went back to bed. And then the next day I woke up. And at the end of my bed, facing away from the bed, was a woman who was wearing a big long dress and she had her hair in a plait. And I thought, if I look at her for too long, she's going to turn around.
And have some horrible
face. And she's going to have a horrible face. So I just rolled over and decided I wasn't going to look at her for too long because she'll look at me and freak me out. But then when I was in a holiday a couple years ago, we were staying in an old barn. And this was one of the first times it happened. And we were sleeping in bed, and at the end of the bed was a man who was wearing just a mannequin head on his shoulder. Like, he had like two heads, and he had a hook in his hand, and he was like just all like oldie. And I was looking at him and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. And I was like, oh, what's wrong? What's happening? And then I woke up Ben, and as soon as I looked at Ben and I looked back, he was gone.
Oh.
And it happens all the time. See people all the time.
I've only had this once, but what I saw is very similar to your first one.
Mm.
When I was a student, we'd been, all like me and my flatmates and stuff, had been out really late at night, got really drunk. We didn't get back till like 5 a.m. So then I sort of went to sleep, but then we all woke up at like lunchtime and we watched a movie and then we all felt terrible. And I went back to sleep at like 8 p.m. So my sleeping pattern was all over. I think I climbed into bed, not necessarily planning on going to sleep, so the light was on as well, and then I nodded off with the light on, so I think it was not obviously the best sleep. And then I woke up like half an hour later or something, and my wardrobe door, I'd left like slightly ajar, it was at the foot of my bed, and like 7 feet off the ground, like right at the top, this head just came out sideways, like there was a really tall person behind it, but it was like completely covered in like coal dust. It was like just completely black.
Colin
the coal shaft. So he just sort of like looked around at the top of my bed, and I managed not to like freak the hell out. And I think there was like a little bit of me that just knew, no, that's not actually there. I'm having like some kind of sleep paralysis. And I was frozen as well in my bed. I couldn't move.
Wow.
And then his head just like went back in again to the wardrobe. And I sort of like kind of nodded out of consciousness for like what felt like a second or two. And as soon as I like snapped back awake, like seemingly 2 seconds later, I climbed out of bed and like looked in the wardrobe and there was no one there.
Sometimes I see just people at the end of my bed in Newcastle and I'm just like, I know you're not here for real. I just know you're not here actually. Then I just roll over and go to sleep. But most recently I've actually been able to start telling my dreams when they're dreams and being like, no, this is a dream. it's not real, and then like getting and convincing it to do something else. But also sometimes I have crazy dreams, and sometimes I wake up and I think I've done something, like I've sent a message or like called someone, and I wake up and I'm like, oh cool, well they already know this thing's happening. Like I've woken up late, in my brain I've already told them that I've come, like I'm gonna be late, but I haven't done that because I've woken up in my dream, text someone that I'm gonna be late, and then still been asleep, and then actually woken up and I've not done it.
Oh no.
But that's not as bad as the sleep ghosts.
As the monsters, no.
Yeah, it's the dream ghosts.
What the fuck are you talking about? Absolute insanity.
Got a question here from David Lever, who says, have you ever met someone you're convinced was an actual psychopath? Sitting right there. No, when I was in sixth form, there was a kid in year seven who would try to push me into the road, sometimes actually into oncoming traffic after we got off the bus. Sometimes he tried to sneak up on me to do it. Maybe I should have told the school in case he was trying on people not twice his height. Oops. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. You're the reason that a year seven died.
Yes.
Yes. He started targeting smaller prey. They're dead now. Rip.
It's not for me or anyone who's not qualified to actually diagnose someone as a psychopath, but based on my knowledge of the way that, you know, they sort of use people and they can be quite emotionless and can put on quite a fake I'm your friend until they've kind of had what they want out of you. We knew someone at uni who we thought was a bit of a psychopath, like just the way that they would kind of drain you of everything that they wanted from you. And then as soon as like you had nothing left to offer, either like socially or like as emotional support or, you know, even as like partners, like they went through partners quite a lot. They would no longer be, they were like your best friend. And they thought you were the best person ever. And then as soon as you had nothing left to offer, you were just like completely dumped instantly. Mm. Everyone thought, yeah, that's basically psychopath sort of energy there. But in terms of what David described, where someone is just like actually like perhaps a murderer in the making, not sure if I've met someone like that.
I don't think I have.
I've met complete assholes before.
I've met compulsive liars.
Yeah, I've met compulsive liars, manipulators, perhaps people with some sociopathic tendencies where it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, how are you functioning? You're a horrible person. But I don't know that I've ever met a psychopath, someone with violent tendencies, certainly like pushing people in the road. I don't think I've ever met. Fortunately.
There was a guy in my class. I shouldn't really maybe be that detailed, but I've said it now. There was a guy in my class at school who I was pretty sure was a compulsive liar. At one point, he was like, he had some kind of mystery ailment that was like under investigation. That was happening. That was evident. Like he would have fits and stuff, and that's obviously terrible. But then at one point, like at lunchtime, we were like hanging around a few of us, and there was a teacher there. And at one point, he just sort of dropped that like, yeah, I've got a brain tumor, I'm going to die. And everyone was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And the teacher was like, oh my God, that's terrible. I'm so sorry to, like, she was like, she was pretty distraught about it. And everyone was like, oh crap. I like felt like even more of a kind of connection to him saying that because my mum had a brain tumor and fortunately it was operated on and they took it out and she's fine. So I was like, oh Jesus. Like, yeah, I know I've sort of experienced that to some extent. And then later on, it turned out, oh no, I didn't have a brain tumor. They did a scan and like an amateur doctor had looked at the scan and had like diagnosed me with a brain tumor. Great. And that was what had happened. And actually, no, they've since
amateur doctor.
Yeah, what amateur doctor is giving people
a junior doctor
to live
amateur doctor
without it being like checked by a qualified doctor,
unprofessional.
And that wasn't the only, he was a compulsive liar in other things. And then when that happened, it was like, well, that's just the latest in a long line of terrible lies. Why would you tell someone that?
There's this one girl, like, do you remember there was that trend a couple of weeks ago where it's like small town liars who were just like, and I was talking about this to someone in the office, but there was this girl I went to uni with who she just would make up like the most random shit. Like when I first met her on the interview, like to get into the university, and I don't think I'd ever see her again because like, how do you know this person's going to end up in the same uni as you? She was like, oh yeah, my twin is downstairs. Like she said he is downstairs doing another, like, looking at another course.
Did you mention this?
Yeah, I've talked about this in the office before.
Okay, all right.
And then, like, when we started uni, she also got in. She was still talking about her twin, but now her twin was a she.
Right.
And I was like, okay, maybe I just, like, misheard it, or I'm just remembering things wrong. And then, like, as we went through the year, like, she'd just say shit that was just not true. Like, we all knew what accommodation she lived in. She's like, yeah, I've got my pink Fiat 500 here. And everyone who was, like, in the accommodation was like, well, where do you park it then? Because it's not parked in the accommodation. And we all, like, are pretty central into uni and there's no pink Fiats around. She's like, no, I do have it here. And then, like, over the course of second year, this twin story just, like, kept unraveling itself. Like, there'd be things like she'd show, like, pictures of, like, her family in performances or whatever. And, like, this girl that was her twin was never in any of these pictures. And they were like, well, if she's your twin, like, why isn't she in any of the pictures? Or why she's in, like, Happy Mother's Day, is there no pictures of anything on Facebook or whatever? And she's like, oh, okay, well, she's not really my twin, she's just my sister. And we were like, okay, she's still not in any pictures, like, what's that about? And then she was like, it's a really hard subject to talk about because, like, she's like my adopted sister, like, she lives with us and, like, she's basically my sister, but, like, she's not actually, like, my sister, so, like, she's with us all the time, and it's really hard to talk about because, like, her family are trying to get her back. And I was like, everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it just, like, absolutely unraveled itself.
They still don't answer the question, where is she? Exactly. Well, she's not really my twin. And then but where is she?
And then it just turned out that it was, like, her really good friend,
right,
who also looked similar. But one time she came to visit, and we had been, like, seen pictures that she'd showed us of, like, her twin sister. So someone was like, oh, you must be this... I said her name then. You must be so-and-so's twin. And they were like, oh, what? No, we're just friends. And this whole thing just, like, absolutely derailed so quickly. And everyone was like, why have you been lying? Like, what random thing to lie about?
It must be so exhausting to keep up such a stupid lie.
And why?
Yeah, there's just no reason for it.
Why are you always lying?
Why always lying? Anyway.
Give these a mix, because we kept pulling out the very latest questions last...
Yeah, I think you pulled one out as well.
Yeah.
That was from last episode, that
this
question.
One here. It's in the recent font.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Matthew Lawrence asks, at what age and how did you learn that Father Christmas isn't real?
Okay, I can answer this one. I remember it.
Traumatic experience.
It was last year. And I was still in primary school, so I was young. I was under the age of 11. But I think I was reaching a point where kids at school there were always a couple of kids who were just like, you know, not real.
Yeah.
Because there's always those. And you sort of laugh off like, ha, ha, ha. And then you either sort of go home and have a deep think about it, or you just go, well, I know he's real.
I know
he's brought
real.
Me gifts for like 10 years in a row. So you're a fucking idiot. And I think I was reaching the point where my parents kind of wanted me to know.
Mm.
But they didn't just tell me. So I got a Spider-Man bedspread. I think it was the first movie, which was 2001-ish.
Yeah.
I think. So, yeah, I would have been about 9 or 10. And
did you just look at me? Because you were like...
I would have been about 9 or 10, yeah? Yeah, because you would have been 3.
Yeah, 3.
So I remember it was just an original Spider-Man movie bedspread. And... And Father Christmas got it for me. And then my mum asked me after the fact, oh, so, like, how was it? You know, we wanted to make sure that, you know, you liked it and it fit. And I was like, oh, hang on. Oh, shit. Why would she ask that? Father Christmas was the one who bought, who made it. Who made it
who
for
made
me.
Who made it for you.
Knitted it. Knitted by Nana Christmas.
Nana Christmas, yeah.
So that's when I worked it out. It's but a not so subtle hint from my mum, because she wanted me to not be, a pathetic baby loser anymore.
Mm.
I lost trust in my parents when I was 8 years old and I lost my tooth and I wasn't asleep. And my dad came in, picked up me and the cushion, rammed the pound under and took my tooth
pound?
Out.
Pound?
Wow.
I only got like 50p at best.
Oh.
Maybe we inflation, sometimes got a pound, but yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I know the tooth fairy's not real, because and also this was after my parents had forgotten for 3 days in a row that my tooth was under my pillow. Like, they knew it, and the first night I was like, the tooth fairy didn't come. My tooth's still here. And then I think I remember my mum and dad being like, shit, I thought you were doing it. And then that happened 3 times in a row. And looking back at it, my parents like clearly weren't putting that much effort in because they forgot about it 3 times in a row. But then like when it came to Father Christmas, I kind of think I had a, obviously my little sister was like 3 years younger than me, so she was still kind of like very much into Santa. I think I was about 10 or 11. I was just starting secondary school. And I think my mum just kind of, we were talking about it. My mum went, so you know Santa's not real, right? And I was like, well, I had my suspicions, but I guess now they're confirmed. And I remember being quite, not sad. I think I did almost cry that Santa wasn't real.
For a lot of kids, that's the first bit of critical thinking they're expected to do.
The first lie that everyone's been telling me.
Yeah, the first dose of the harsh world.
Reality of life, yeah.
With the Tooth Fairy, my parents, oh,
sorry. Hell, Fairy.
I remember on kind of, in contrast to you, my parents kind of putting the effort in to the extent that one time I was brushing my teeth, I was quite young, and my mum was like in the bathroom at the same time. I don't know if she was like, maybe I was young enough that she was sort of trying to get me to do them myself.
Mm.
And I had a wobbly tooth, and I managed to, like, the tooth came out and it went down the sink and it like slid and I went like that and I missed it and it went like that and I went and I missed it and it was like half piping around the sink. I kept missing it and it went down the plug. I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to leave it for the Tooth Fairy. I was really upset. And my mum said, right, what we'll do is we'll write a note. And we wrote a letter to the Tooth Fairy.
Same thing happened to you, but I dropped it between two paving slabs and I couldn't get it back out.
And she even wrote, like, she said, like, oh, it was a good tooth. Like, it, you know, it wasn't, like,
lots all really clean.
Sugary and, you know. And then, like, I got the Tooth Fairy stuff. But on the windowsill in our kitchen, they had this tiny little box. And this is like, I don't know why some parents do this, because I don't want to ever do this if I have kids. And they had our baby teeth in this little pot.
My parents had a box.
And it's
of baby
like, well,
teeth.
Hang on a minute. I left that for the Tooth Fairy and they put money there. And then,
how'd you get down the sink?
My parents tried to tell me when I found, because I found the box of teeth too. And my parents tried to tell me that it was their teeth for when they were younger.
Brilliant.
I was like, why do you have this bag of teeth? And they were just like, it's our teeth from when we were kids. And I'm like,
why do you have
still
your teeth?
Fairy wasn't invented back
yeah,
then.
Still weird.
But with Father Christmas, I should just say,
oh yeah,
I remember the speculation on the playground where some people were going, it's not real. And then there was this girl saying, well, me and my sister, this was also clearly bullshit. This didn't actually happen, but she was like really trying to like defend Father Christmas. She said, well, me and my sister once left a camcorder running in our stockings, and we saw like a hand go in with like a red thing on and like some mittens
that
or whatever.
That is such bullshit.
And another guy was like, I've not seen him, but I heard the reindeer hoofs on the roof. So, and then I think, I never had like, wow. I don't remember the moment where they told me, but I had like a brother 2 years older who maybe sort of knew and might have started to say he's not real. And I had a sister 2 years younger who we were probably trying to like, you know, keep the magic alive for her. So I was just in the middle, and somewhere between those two, there's like a transition where I was like, yeah, I suppose the fact that my parents get us to write Argos catalogue serial
numbers. Circle with
it. Yeah, and sometimes when you post a letter to the North Pole, you don't put a stamp on it, or sometimes, as I did, you put it in the fire. And he still gets it, apparently.
Yeah,
you just chuck it in the fire and he get it. And I was like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell my kids that Santa Claus really likes a glass of wine at Christmas.
Yeah, he wants a bottle of top shelf vodka and a
packet
of biscuits.
My boyfriend, like, he'll drink the milk because they, like, you leave milk out for Santa.
Mm.
He'll drink the milk because he's a milk drinking boy. Mm. But I can't stand milk. So I'll be like, Santa really likes the rosé wine that we have in the fridge.
But you know that you'd still have to buy the wine yourself, right?
Yeah, but then I wouldn't
have
to drink the milk.
You just have to drink it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We used to leave a carrot for Rudolph and we would get up in the morning and it would just have one human-sized bite out of it. Like, why didn't the reindeer eat the whole carrot? And why is his mouth the shape of my mum's?
I think one time my parents like chopped the top off the carrot. Right. So it was just, but it was like
just leave
dead straight.
The tail on it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
There's a question from Ian Jasper. He says, greetings, Bap.
Hello.
My earliest memory is being flat on the floor under an archway, knowing that something bad had happened with large dark shapes looming over me.
Oh,
that thing again.
Oh,
we
frozen.
Heard about this last
it's
week.
Fine. I think we just need to reconnect it. It's still recording.
Yeah, we
How
are.
Long was
we're
it
still going
for?
Audio wise. Not long. We saw it immediately, I think.
There.
Right. Just unplugging the camera now, video viewers. Hang on. plugging it back in. He's trying. Oh. Okay, it's in. You might need to deactivate the camera input. And we'll be there any second now. We're just this bear with us. For. This is it. This is the premium experience.
Do I just deactivate
so,
like,
yeah. Oh, there you go. That's it. It's as simple as that. We're back.
Hello.
With dark shapes looming over me. When I told my parents about this memory, they were astonished. I'd fallen off my potty under the archway between two rooms in our old house, and the shapes were the adults who were around leaning over me to make sure I was okay. I wasn't even 18 months old.
Wow.
Weird I didn't see people as people, though. What are your earliest memories? Love as always, etc., etc. Ian the Elder.
I have my earliest memories, a similar time in my life, is when I fell out a window. I think I've told the story
before.
What
were you doing?
I was falling out of windows. A tantrum because I wanted to go to my nan's house and I fell out the window past the kitchen sink that my mum was washing up in and fell onto the gravel outside, narrowly missed a brick, and then had to go to the doctor's because obviously they're less than 2 year old. I think I was 18 months old because my sister wasn't born yet and she's about 18 months younger than me, I think. So mum was pregnant with my sister. So I was not 2 yet. And I fell out the window. And I remember having the tantrum. I remember falling out the window. I remember going to the doctor's. And I remember my parents got me an ice lolly because it was the middle of the summer. And they gave me an ice lolly because I didn't die.
Hey, congrats. Here's an ice lolly.
Yeah.
Mm. You're stuck here.
You did it. You didn't die when you fell out of a window. Here's a lolly.
Mm. That seems fair. I remember my mum carrying me down the stairs and she fell down the stairs and I twisted my ankle. And I think...
How old were you?
17. I think I must have been... I mean, I was young enough that she was carrying me down the stairs. Mm. So probably like 2 or less. Mm. I mean, I could walk at 2, but you're still small enough that they might occasionally carry you, I suppose. But so maybe 18 months, two years old, something like that. Not really sure. I'll have to ask them because I'm sure she'll remember how old I was when I twisted my ankle. But yeah, I'm sure I've got other earlier memories than that or as early, but I'm trying to remember what they are. Do you know what yours is?
Yeah, I've got one. I think I was maybe 3 or 4. We went to some sort of like day out, kind of like a motoring thing. We went to some track and I remember distinctly seeing some really loud cars going past and I was there with my dad and that is all I remember. But it is probably the oldest memory that I have from when I was the youngest,
right.
I think. Yeah, just some sort of track day, seeing some cars go past really fast. Maybe my cousin was there, don't know.
I've got a question here from Grey Ghost.
Uh-oh.
From Ashton's flat.
I know.
Uh-oh.
They say, what is your favourite accent? And then in parentheses it says, UK regional and or worldwide.
I quite like the Kiwi accent.
Yeah, the Kiwi accent is fantastic.
Good accent. Really good. There's a guy on Love Island right now who's got an Italian accent. And sometimes I think Italian accents are fine, but I don't know if he's just hamming it up, but it actually annoys me more than I like it. So I don't like that accent. Davide is his name.
Davide.
Yeah, he's a bit of a tosser.
Davide.
Yeah.
I like the New York accent. I think that's pretty good. Sort of Manhattan, maybe Brooklyn, that kind of area. I think that's a good accent. I think what my favourite UK regional accent is.
I like West Country.
Yeah, West Country is good.
I'm not a big fan of West Country. I mean, I think it's funny, but I don't think it's like... I don't like it as an accent that much, which is a bit rude to anyone.
I enjoy the West Country accent.
Sorry to any pirates listening, but I think like some of the Scottish accents are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think one that's quite divisive is Liverpudlian. Some people really hate Scouse accents, but like I think it's I don't mind it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Not going to fight you on that.
No,
it's all right.
I like a soft Welsh accent.
Welsh accent.
It's not like really thick Welsh, like a soft Welsh.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. I know we're not talking about accents we don't like. I don't like the Birmingham accent.
No, I don't.
No one likes the Birmingham accent.
It's sort of the worst one.
From Birmingham.
Whole country.
Just going down to the bullring. I'm off to the bullring. Shut up. Don't talk.
In terms of an international accent, let's just go with France. France is a great accent.
Yeah, it's a pretty good accent. Mm. Yeah,
I like good accents out there.
I like Diego Luna's accent. Who he's Mexican, I think.
You can't pick.
I didn't mean to. I picked up two. They were stuck together.
Or Central American. He's got that sort of Spanish with a Central American twang. I don't know if he's a kind of guy, but yeah, he's got a very good accent. He's a sexy man.
Wow, goodness me.
I have a question.
Oh, from Star Wars, Diego.
Yeah, what's his name?
From Rogue One.
Cassian Andor, yeah.
Gotcha. From the I thought I recognised the name. I was like, is he a footballer? Who's this guy?
Yeah, he's got a good accent. He's done a lot of PR like interviews recently for the new series coming out, and he's got a great voice.
Called Cass Hole. Yeah. Right, that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Who you got?
It comes from Marley. They say, hey, Abap. What's something you think would equate the value of your soul? No reason, just shopping.
Jim Kim Nuggets.
Equate the value of
my soul.
So like a single item.
What would you trade for your soul?
Like the life of a child.
Whoa.
If they were like, I'm going to kill this kid, but if you give me your soul, I will not kill this. It depends how annoying the kid is. If the kid was like my kid, they're like, I'm going to kill your firstborn child unless you give me your soul. I'd be like, you can have my soul. Again, depends how annoying the kid is.
You can have my child.
Yeah.
If we're accepting that souls exist and that trading for your soul exists, I think I would also then have to accept that that means if I made that trade, I would have to be damned into eternal brimstone and fire in hell once I died. So I think I would probably never make that deal on the basis that we're assuming hell exists, if we're assuming souls exist. But if we're not...
Pack of Skittles.
Yeah, I don't know. What
if it does though? What would you risk eternal damnation for?
Well, I don't know if I would, because eternity is a very long time.
It is. I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Unless I could know ahead of time if I'm already condemned for eternal damnation.
Yeah. The Bible, so you get something out of it.
Bible.
That's
tends
true.
To be pretty strict about
are you
going to
end up there anyway?
I got tattoos and I eat shellfish, so I'm going to the.
If we take that out of it, though, because obviously you would just say, well, I'm not making that deal because I would just be in pain forever and ever. It's not worth it.
But if you're going to hell anyway.
Well, yeah. Or I was going to say, or if we say souls exist, but or you can die. You will die now and not go to hell. There's no afterlife. You will just be dead. Yeah. But before you die, you get to do whatever it is that you want to do. Do the one thing, you know. So it's like trade your life for. Is there anything you trade your life for knowing that hell doesn't exist?
No.
Again, like, unless it was just like someone else.
I would do that to save someone, maybe.
I don't know if there's like a material object or a thing that I would trade my life for.
No. Complete sticker book, maybe.
A red car.
Don't know. I can't think that there's anything valuable enough for. If we're in a situation where souls exist and they are of great importance, there'd be nothing that I'd trade for.
No.
But you'd have to be a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you would.
Having fun there, decorating.
Short-term gratification. Yep.
Gratification.
Gratification.
That's what Greta Thunberg's...
Gratification.
pop music act is.
Yeah.
Gratification. How about we do this question? Flap, flap. No one's going to understand what you're doing if they're listening.
Can you listen to this separately?
Dip.
Yeah.
Is it go? Oh, yeah, just go in the podcast feed, doesn't it? Oh, well, sorry.
Here's a question from Shane Studer, who says, hi, Bap. I'm from America and have recently got into a British show called Escape to the Country, and I love it. I've also watched Great British Bake Off and The Great Pottery Throwdown. Is that a real one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Amy watches it.
I was, of course she does.
Of course she does.
I was wondering if there are any British reality TV shows you suggest to give a try.
Right, The Great Pottery Throwdown, as nice as it is that people are making pots, and they do some nice things, fucking hate that show because... and I hate
I just
it.
Want to play KO the Kangaroo.
No, I hate it more than stuff that, in terms of the craft being done... I ought to like that. So, for example, there's The Sewing Bee, which I wouldn't
the
watch.
What? The Sewing Bee?
The Sewing
Bee.
Sewing Bee. Oh, it's just it's the sewing one.
It's really good, actually.
No, you don't lie to me.
So that's one that I would have no interest in because I don't like sewing, right? Or I'm not interested in watching people sew. But then...
Make pots, do you?
I don't, but I'd be more interested to watch pottery as a spectator sport than sewing. But I would honestly rather watch the sewing bee than the pottery show, because the fucking judge in the pottery show cries at everything. It's just this bloke who loves pottery so much.
Why don't you fuck a pot?
Exactly.
Why don't you marry that pot?
But it's not just that. So with all these shows, they normally do like two or three things per episode. So everyone like competes on, you have to make a plate and then you have to make a pot character or, you know, like three different things.
Pot boy.
And then normally in these shows, like with the Bake Off, the third one of the episode is the showstopper, or it's the main one that is going to decide whether you go through or not. You have to do really well on the third thing of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And at least if you're going to get like emotional about how good a pot is, cry at the showstopper at the end because someone's made like the very best plate for their dead grandma or something, right? Cry at that. But I watched one episode of the Pottery Throwdown, and in the first or second challenge, it was the technical, where all they had to do was make little like milk bottles out of clay. Don't know why they're making clay milk bottles, but like just little ones. Mm-hmm. And they had to make as many as they could in a short time. That was the point. It wasn't just make a good one, it was make loads of consistent ones.
Okay.
And someone made like five quite good milk bottles. And the man came over and cried. He said, I just can't believe how they're so consistent. It's just absolutely lovely. And he just burst into tears. And I was like, get this shit off now. I'm not watching any more of this. I was so cross. So to answer your question, not the Pottery Throwdown, which you apparently enjoy, so that's fine. I'll think now about shows, but if you guys have good UK shows that...
I don't watch... much British TV at all. I especially don't watch reality shows. So I didn't think I had a recommendation, but I actually do, but it's not a reality show. But it's that kind of crafty kind of thing. Mm. It's called The Repair Shop.
It's very good.
Oh, Repair Shop is very good.
My granddad loves
it. My parents love it.
Repair Shop is great. It's basically a big shed filled with expert craftspeople, and people bring in family heirlooms or... antiques, things that they really like, and very skilled and passionate people repair it, and it's all just very lovely and quite entertaining.
Yeah.
I think one of the guys on that show, the guy who wears the like flat cap,
yes,
he didn't know how to read until he was like 50.
Really?
Until 50?
Yeah, I think
50.
I don't know if I'm like, so I was scrolling through ITV Play the other day when I was watching Love Island, and like Repair Shop was on there with that guy, and I think it's the same guy who did just like a documentary show that was like learning to read at 50 or something. Wow. I don't know if he couldn't read or if he's doing a show about people who can't read, but he was like doing a show like that.
He's a peer. He's a peer of the realm now, that guy. He was on one of the Jubilee coverage things talking as like the... He's like, oh yeah, when I met the Queen, when I was... he's not knighted, but he's got like an MBE or an OBE or something.
Cool.
I think you should watch... It's not like a same vein of those, but Taskmaster is a really good British like... reality TV show. There's like, I think it's like 8 or 9 seasons now, probably 10, and it's got all comedians and it's really good and I really enjoy it. It's one of my favorite TV shows. But and it's not British, but it's a show like these that I really enjoy, is the Australian version of Lego Masters.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I just like turned the TV on Sunday or something. It's really
so good. The American one is too American. They ham it up, they ruin it like they do with most things. But the Australian one is really good. Once the host finds his footing in the first series, it's really good. I think there's like 2, maybe 3 series now. But the first one's really good. There's this little guy on it, I think he's called like Cole, and he's unbearable. Like, he's insufferable. But I just like seeing him get his comeuppance. So I recommend Lego Masters, the Australia. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. I've only watched like 1 or 2 episodes, but I really enjoyed it at the time.
Yeah, it's really good.
I said that guy was a peer. That was an incorrect use of the term peer. That is like hereditary titles, but he was on the honours list is what I mean.
Okay.
He's like an MBE or an OBE. He's not like a count.
Yes, or a duke.
I would also probably just say The Repair Shop and The Lego Show, which is not British. Also, just to be absolutely clear, I'm not saying that men shouldn't cry. I'm saying that men shouldn't cry.
You're saying that that man shouldn't
cry. That man should not cry over clay bottles. But men should cry if they want to cry. That's
just
fine.
Not that guy. He's
just
not,
not that man in that instance.
And hey, if the clay bottles are what you need to get you there, then yeah, fair enough. But not every time.
No. It's like his thing. Paul Hollywood's thing is being an asshole and shaking people's hands as though that really matters. And this other guy's thing is crying. Amy watches the makeup one as well, and one of the judges on that's...
Oh, don't miss Stacey Dooley.
She says weird things like bada bing, bada boom, bish bash bosh, ding dong.
Oh, yeah, she says ding dong a lot. My uncle always says ding dong, and whenever she says it...
If you get a ding dong from her, that's like a Hollywood handshake.
Ding dong. Yeah. Shut up.
Rubbish. She just wants to make like a series of tea towels or mugs or whatever.
Yeah. Put that on. Look at the draw here. This is David Lever again. Who says, what animal would you least like to be eaten by? Probably a duck.
I mean,
because that would take a really
Something
long time.
Small.
I was gonna say like a singular rat, because that would take ages.
Yeah.
Am I dead already, or am I being eaten alive?
Well,
if I'm dead, I don't really
until
care.
Until it kills you. If you're dead, it doesn't really matter.
A praying mantis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be horrid. Like a really small insect that's just got to gorge itself over a period of months, aren't you?
Yeah. That'd be terrible. Wouldn't want that one.
No. There we go. That's answered.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just getting a question out.
She's just opening it really weirdly with one hand.
I'm fiddling with my other hand.
Okay.
Have you finished?
Yeah.
Have you finished? Boy, you can read the fucking question.
Stephen Norrie asks, what's the official triple jump cocktail? Ooh. Well, we'd have to have vodka in it.
It's got to have
Monster
vodka
energy
in it.
Drink.
You reckon it's got to have Monster Energy drink in it?
Well, probably, yeah. You drink that, don't you?
Not frequently.
No, but occasionally you'll pick up a Monster from the...
Sometimes, yeah, if I'm really flagging, yeah. Instead of food, yeah. I'll have a Monster Energy
Maybe
drink.
Maybe a bit of cherry Pepsi, because that's all we've got in the office, or Iron Brew.
Well, what's a preferred drink of yours? It should have a bit of everything in it.
Something that I like.
Yeah, what's something that you like? What's a soft drink or an alcohol that you enjoy?
Every day when I get a meal deal, I buy a Ribena Light.
Okay.
Because Ribena sugar has loads of sugar in it.
Right, and a Ribena Light
Ribena
is full
Light,
of sunshine.
It's full of phenylalanine.
Yes.
And it tastes just as
feline
good.
Aniline.
And I want something that's not fizzy and not full of sugar. And that rules out most drinks other than water.
So the cocktail might have, if we're doing one each, vodka... Rosé wine and Ribena Light. In
light.
It, it doesn't sound awful, to be
it
fair.
It sounds okay.
And
I'd
then,
probably
like,
drink
maybe a crust around the rim of like a Sunbite
Doritos.
Crisp.
Doritos or something.
Yeah, Sunbite chips around the top.
Yeah.
Be great. Maybe some ginger.
With like a chaser of cherry Pepsi.
Mm.
Sounds fucking awful.
It's just called the triple jump, I guess. Well, maybe we'd have to have three things because it would be like. Like three steps, like you know how you have like a tequila and a lime.
Yeah.
So if we had like a vodka and Ribena.
Yeah.
And then like a cherry Pepsi and rosé, which sounds gross, but second thing. And then maybe like the third thing is just like a pill.
That's cod liver oil tablet.
Cod liver oil tablet.
A cracked cod liver oil tablet. Yeah. Just cod liver oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you have to bite the lime, you have to squeeze a cod liver oil tablet into your mouth.
Sounds great. Sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
This question's looking a bit
That's
warm.
That's tiny.
Let's see. Final question, probably. What, Jenny Denham asked this question. What accessory would a plushie of you have? From Plushie Labs. Not made by Plushie Labs. That question was from Plushie Labs.
Oh, right.
In addition to Jenny, who is Plushie Labs.
Oh. Yeah, they are one and the same person.
I thought I had to look up what accessories other Plushie Labs things have.
Not unless you want to.
No.
Are we saying accessory is like not the outfit?
Just a toy.
Probably
like an additional.
Kind of holding.
Like Barbara's shield
or
club or bone.
I would maybe have like a PS1 controller, perhaps, or a whole like little mini PS1 just sort of under my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean a mini PS1. I mean a PS1 to scale.
Yeah.
And that would mean it is a small one. But I mean
a footstool, so you could be taller.
Yeah.
You have to take it with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
Just a chair.
I think either like a knife.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a bottle of wine, or potentially my cats, just little mini plushies of my cats would be.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd like those all the time.
Probably a bottle of vodka or Game Boy is an obvious one, but that's a bit too easy. I don't play Game Boy very often. I just have a lot of them. Maybe a pack of Sunbite chips, or a cod liver oil tablet bottle, or a multivitamin bottle, something like that. Because I'm passionate about that, and it doesn't. It's not a sad replacement for food at all. So don't you even suggest it. It's fine, and I love it. And I don't think about food at all. And I'm certainly not thinking about it now, having been sat in this room for close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Food.
I could maybe have a little tiny gingerbread man, which I sometimes treat myself to.
You do get gingerbread man.
It would be bigger than you.
It would be, yeah.
I walk around with a giant gingerbread.
I get a meal deal every time we go to Tesco. And then sometimes I'm like, I need a sweet treat. I need something to keep me going. And I'll go and buy.
But you can get Stroop waffles in the meal deal.
Well, I want a whole meal deal with like savory, like a sandwich and some crisps and stuff.
But
and
you need then an I'm additional like, treat.
Yeah.
Gingerbread man.
And I normally get a gingerbread man because I just love gingerbread. I do feel juvenile every time I buy it because it's in the shape of a man and has a smiley face on it. And I'm like, look, if you just had this,
could
but
you
it
get
was
a frowning, frowning
yeah,
one?
Could you get one that's got blood and boobs on it, maybe? Yeah. I'd rather buy that. But
blood on it.
Yeah. If they did it in just a round shape, but it was exactly the same, I would probably buy that instead of the gingerbread man because I feel like a child. It's not. I don't feel enough of a child to stop me getting it.
Yeah, well, of course.
I'm probably going to get one today now that I'm thinking about gingerbread.
Well, I'm thinking about gingerbread too. I can't.
My questions look like a dragonfly in the camera.
They do.
They sure do.
It's beautiful.
Or like an X-wing. Oh, no. Never mind. Hey. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, you should shout from the rooftops about this After Dark shizwas, about how good it is, and tell everyone else on the Discord and anywhere else that fellow Walrus Clan people are that they should support us on Patreon and get access to this podcast because it's great.
Don't tell them Ashton's ghost story, though, because we teased that on the other podcast.
That's a secret just for you.
No, let's save that
for After
Dark.
Let's save it for After Dark.
Yeah.
It's exclusive.
Thank you so much for supporting us. We really appreciate it. And we hope you have a fantastic next couple of weeks until we are back. Keep an eye out for the question post. And until then, look after yourselves. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.